What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Forever Dog.
I have interracially hooked up, but never have
dated. Is a perfect cold open.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I have never went home with people's parents because it is a great fear of mine. Because in Get Out and in this movie, you know, sometimes the families, I'm like, I don't know. I get very worried. Let me put it like this. I've had someone say my dad would be very upset if he found out I was with a black dude right now.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not even just a white woman. That is like, you know what I'm saying? That's like different races. That's not just white. I had someone say something that was slightly like it wasn't racist, but it was like, ooh, this, you said black, and I'm not sure black. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not
there's
a racial thing.
In your tone, the way you said black.
It was like, just black in the moment. I'm like, I don't know why black has to be said in this exact moment. I don't know. Like, it wasn't a racist thing. It was just the fact that it's like.
You're not talking around all the, like, the sneaky, like, sexy details.
Because I don't want to.
It's like, there's specific things that happened right before it was said. That
it
would
don't
give
matter.
Us way more context.
It don't like, matter. In a
but
certain,
then she said black, and I was like, oh, I don't like
it. In a certain sexual situation, I feel like if you ever bring up a person's race at any point, it is questionable. Like, I don't need to be like white anything. I don't need to be like Asian-ness. It's just, it makes it weird. I don't care the scenario. I just don't.
But that black but elbow. I'm, what are you
it's like, wait, hey, what you talking about my elbow for? What the hell? Like, you want to get some black coffee at this? No, I want coffee, god damn it. Like, I just want. I don't know if that's happened to anybody, but in college, yo, that used to happen so often.
And it caught you off guard. You just weren't expecting it.
You know,
it wasn't like you had a discussion beforehand.
It wasn't like, hey, my dirty talk involves. Like racial
race
things.
it is all race involved.
My God. And it's so funny thinking about this movie, because this movie came out in what, the 60s? Whereas I feel like interracial dating is definitely, you know, better now. But that fear still exists in me.
Yeah, I feel like just because you've shared so much, I should say that I have had race play in the bedroom before. But after a conversation, you know, you have to like talk about it before you say
how
like,
does that conversation start? Is it like
this?
Hey. Is it like that? It's like, hey, just so you know, when we hook up one of these times,
you know, I imagine you're talking about like, it was sight like you had like maybe it could have been like maybe one or two times with somebody
out
of nowhere they said some stuff and you were like, what? It's a thing, and I feel like people have you know, like thoughts and things that they need to work out, and sometimes they work it out in the bedroom. Like, that just happens sometimes, I feel like.
No, man. It should be worked out in the. It should be worked out in the bedroom, man. Like, yeah, you worked that shit out on your own time.
No, now, sometimes people, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, there's porn categories, you know, of stuff.
I don't like
and
that.
People...
I don't like it because it's usually, who is it? Jermaine Fowler talks about it all the time. It's like, it's versus. I don't want to see a black dude versus.
It's not always versus. It's getting better. I feel like they're getting better about.
I feel like they're getting better about
the way they address.
I feel like nowadays, when it comes to interracial dating, at least as a black guy, I think, as a person who talks on Black culture and like the importance of equality and Blackness, I do feel like if my partner was white, my care of Blackness and Black women would be questioned because of who my partner is. Now, so I think it's evolved from like blatant racism to like, hey, brother, whose side are you on? You know what I mean? Yeah. And that is the fear I've always had. Is like, nah, man, I'm here for the people. I'm here for the people. But then if you out here and then, you know, your girlfriend named Becky and she blonde and I'm on the red carpet and it's like for Black Panther 3 and it's like, I can't, we in Wakanda though, bro? You like, I feel like people be like, yo, you going to Wakanda for real? Yeah. And it's like, that's, you know.
I mean, kinks aside though, you know, interracial kinks aside, because we were just talking about specifically in the bedroom and like, you know, yeah, it is a real thing. It's like a thing that sort of still affects us today. You know, people still talk about like you said, like being on the red carpet, like you can't be in Black Panther 3 and then on the red carpet with a white girl on your arms without somebody saying something. Not that you can't do it, but somebody's going to say, there's going to be articles. There's going to be multiple think pieces about like whether or not you could go to, you know, to that, you know, can be a figure in Black culture and also, you know, be dating someone outside your race.
Because sometimes people just want to know. People just don't want to guess who's coming to dinner.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They just don't want to guess.
Deeply upset.
No. I mean, you and David get it. Like, no one wants to guess who's coming to dinner.
Deeply upset.
They
want to
know.
Just...
people like, want to know who's.
We were having a conversation and then you just did that.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? We probably should start the show officially because we have a guest and I know he doesn't want to guess who's coming to dinner.
Okay, all right. Let's get we have to get out of this.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Jerome Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. Hollywood City.
Well, guess who's coming to dinner? I couldn't believe the titular line was actually spoken in the movie.
I mean, it was a perfect setup, though.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Should I have said another quote? Is there like a different?
I thought you were going to do a Sidney Poitier quote. You know,
I know.
Get off my back!
Yeah,
he squeezes his hand
when he get off my back,
and then he turns his back to his dad, and I'm like, first off, brother, listen, your dad should have smacked the shit out of you. Like, I get you, a grown 30-something year old man, but don't you dare scream. You can't tell me what to do. You did what you had to do.
The thing about Sidney Poitier's voice is you never know if like he about to do something nefarious. Like he'll be talking to you, and then I know it'll be like, and then the thing that I'll be thinking, you know, like his voice,
it's like, hey, brother,
get off. You're like, hold up, what is?
Hey, what's
about to happen?
Because he makes you lean in, and it's like, what the fuck you saying to me right now? Like, should I be offended? Like, I don't know what is happening. But for everyone at home, all right. This voice you're listening to right now is Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
And if you have noticed, that other dude is not here today, and we've replaced him. We got a different voice you got to hear on this podcast. And you know what? I'm going to learn his accent by the end of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm offended by all of that accent.
I love it. All right. I get my drum rolls. Hold on. Wait.
Okay, get the drum roll.
You're gonna let us.
I'll do it. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep.
All right.
David Johnson is in the house.
welcome, actor. I'm checking out Industry right now on HBO Max. Learning about, honestly, I know nothing about finance or money, but I'm learning like that shit is crazy. Good God. Only thing I've ever seen is Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing you've seen. That can't be true.
But you know what they don't have? They ain't got no brothers in it.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
So like, industry low key, is, industry, industry is
We got a brother. We got a sister. Like, I, this is not a, this is not even a bit. I'm just happy that y'all on that goddamn show. Cause I've, those two movies, black people don't even walk through the shot. Like, they don't be there. You know? Like, there don't be nobody in the background just hanging out and shit. You watch it, Wolf of Wall Street. He got his whole bullpen. It ain't no brothers in that show.
There's not a single one. Hold on. There's not a single black extra
in that. Like, not in the big scene.
All right.
But Dave, you on that. But Dave, you on there. We in there, baby. Slowly but surely. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You made us watch this movie, man. You made us watch this movie.
We just to give you some backstory, we just watched Carbon Copy, which was, it's Denzel Washington's first movie, and it's a similar premise in that there's a surprise black person in the family. Like, it's just like, hey, surprise, your son's black, and you're just like, then they dealing with that for the whole movie. And so that's what we feel when we say that you made us watch. It's just back to back, like, you know.
It's a black dude coming to town.
Black dude, unexpected black dude movies.
So. But for everyone at home, what we're talking about today is we're reviewing Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Classic.
Starring the wonderful Sidney Poitier.
Yes. It's the ninth Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn movie. The ninth and final.
Because they were married.
Hey, come on, brother. Don't.
I thought they had kids. Did they not?
They weren't married. They were.
Sorry. They were involved. Sorry about that. They were involved.
Come on, brother.
But honestly, and we also have. I mean, this movie's great. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic. It's on 1,000 AFI like top 100. You know, it's on all of those lists.
B. Richards. I think she was nominated for an Oscar. I mean, just to give everybody the accolades for this movie, it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for Spencer Tracy. He passed away, I think, was it 2 days after the release of this movie?
Yeah. And 17 days after they finished production was 2 days after they released the movie, 17 days after production.
Wow. Best Actress for Katharine Hepburn. Which she won. Right? She won. B. Richards had Best Supporting Actress. They won for Best Screenplay and Story. Nominated for Best Art Direction. Yo, this joint got a lot of great nominations. It's funny because this is listed as a dramedy. Yeah. And I guess it does have comedic moments. So I was like, oh, I thought this just felt like a...
Yeah, the pacing is so interesting that, like, when the jokes happen, you're like, I'm allowed to laugh right now, right? Like, that is funny, right? Okay, I'm not crazy. Yeah.
David, so what? Since like we like to do our initial thoughts, and since this is one of your selections, it was between this and Spider-Verse, and we had reviewed Spider-Verse, even though we loved that goddamn movie.
Honestly, would have gladly done it again. Would have gladly that movie done so it again. Much.
But this movie is important, though. I mean, again, like I think we've done one Sidney Poitier film, so it's nice to do another one. But yeah, what's your connection? Why do you want to pick it?
Oh man, you know it's. I always say I grew up on film. My dad used to show me like a lot of, you know, 60s films, and I grew up on that stuff like Mahogany, Lady Sings the Blues, all those kind of films. My dad had remember those like old school like CD players and like those massive VHSs? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he had like just music and films, and it was all black films. You know, we grew up on a lot of that, which meant a lot to me. What I found actually growing up was a lot of those kind of films had a lot of messages in them. Especially as I got older, you just start to understand little things that it was teaching you. It weren't just entertainment, you know, it had like little ways to live and be better, or ways that our struggle has been, you know, documented in the past, and therefore as the next generation we learn from. And this film in particular, I just thought it was kind of ahead of its time. I mean, listen, I'm still super, you know, young and figuring it all out, but I look back on this film, and obviously finding a connection to Sidney Poitier myself, him being a massive inspiration to me, I come back to this film all the time, and I just go, there's just so much here, So yeah, that's why I thought to pick it. I mean, next to Spider-Man, which is like completely different, but
I mean, that's
but
a good
just
one.
As much. I mean, the messaging is there. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. Be who you listen. Spider-Man, honestly. The reason we would have tried to watch the game, but I'm in a deep sadness that I couldn't get a PS5, so I can't play Miles Morales. I would have been crying I'd have been dying. I've been trying on every link.
It's so hard. You know, I'm just going to quickly say I have a friend who hooked me up with a PS5, so I'm lucky. But yeah, you bro. If there was a way that I could sort you out. I'm sorry about that.
No, honestly, I appreciate even that kind of thought of like, if there was a way, that means so much. That's like, hey, my man, I got you. Yeah. I appreciate that. When I think about this movie, I guess I'll say my initial thought is like, I was very nervous about this movie because I knew it was in the 60s and I didn't know how, I didn't know if it was going to be like super heavily racist. I didn't know if they were going to like, again, I didn't. This is one of those movies where I thought I've seen before, maybe in film class, but I hadn't. I guess I remember Guess Who? With Bernie Mac and Zoe Saldana and Ashton Kutcher. I remember that one.
I'm so mad.
I mean, that's what I remember. I'm sorry. That's what I remember. But this one I really did like. And it's something about it that is very interesting, is that they address the white liberalism of this, of everything, yeah. Of like, even I think the priest says it at one point, you know, I knew there was like, I forgot what he said, not a racist, but I knew it was like something just screaming to get out.
He said something like, I always wonder if, you know, beneath extreme liberalism, there's like a bigot waiting to, lurking under the surface. It was like, it was amazing. That scene was great.
Yeah. I mean, because it's something about that where it's like, I always say a lot of times, at least for me, in a lot of instances, I am scared of the more liberal white people, because I think it's like, if you're racist, I know how to talk to you. I know what you think of me. I know how to address this. But I think if you think you're on my side, it becomes very different if I need to say, hey, what you just said wasn't cool. Because it feels like it's a defense. It's like, no. I have to defend why I said this. I got to defend. Like, even the dad in this was battling himself and his own thoughts most of the time. I will say the only thing about this movie is that he gets the final word. He gets this long speech and he gets the final word.
Come on.
And
Spencer Tracy had to get the final
word. I know. Listen, I know it's two-time back-to-back winning Oscar best actor. I think he was nominated like 9 or 10 times, which is like, I know how good he is. I was just like, there was so much of everyone besides Sydney who was reflective. Like Kathy Hepburn got to be reflective. The dad got to be reflective. The dad got to talk to the priest about being reflective. Like Sydney got it at the end with his dad, but I was then mad that he was yelling at his dad. I was like, I don't know. Like, I wanted him just to have... And also this thing, sorry, and I'm almost done. It's like, I love Sydney Poitier, but there's something very scary sometimes about like Sydney has always been exceptional. And like this dude in here, they list his credits. They list like, you know, he did this by 37. He did that. He did this. It's like, oh, we don't need to check up on him anymore. Like, we get it. He's great. And it's like, say he was just a dude. Like even the line of like a mailman's son, like a black mailman produced this kid, how did he do it? Like, it's something I feel like we have to be so exceptional to just be like, to make it okay to like us, where I'm like, yo, say we was just working at a bodega, or like, say I was working at, you know, just a grocery store, just making ends meet. Does that mean I'm not qualified, or I'm not good enough to do a thing, or just be a human? So that's the only thing that kind of
I totally hear what you're saying. Totally, I do. I think that's a fair point. But I also think that's kind of like the beauty of this film, because it was made when it was made. When was it? Was it 60?
67.
Yeah. Because it was made then. My dad was born 1965, and because it was made around that time, you can see. It feels like it ages really well, because you can see the things that might have had to be acceptable then before you can even think about, you know what I mean, getting near a white woman or anyone like that. And obviously now I think we're making more films, which is just, we don't even talk about it. Like the guy is a milkman, or as you say, or works at a bodega. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Of course his girlfriend's white. That's not a problem. But I think that sometimes I think also, you know, being young or not knowing about your culture, you can just go, oh, well, you know, that this is how things have always been. And if you don't see how hard people like that had to work, you know, to get even just the things that we take for granted, like you just, you know, yeah, if you don't see that, I don't think you would know. So I think that's part of the beauty of the film.
I loved that he was a doctor, but knew that we were going to talk about the exceptional Negro aspect of it, just because I think the last Sidney Poitier movie we did, or maybe the only other one we've done, which is Heat of the Night, right? We talked about exceptional Negro and that too. And with this movie in particular, it's a little bit different because it feels like, well, one also because of the sort of comedy angle of it, they like needed to stack him up. They needed to stack him up. Like, this dude is, you can't find a problem with him. You know, like, I dare you to find anything wrong with it, you know? And I was reading that, like, it was intentional. Like, they wanted to seem like, it's impossible. He's impossible to penetrate. The only issue that anyone could have seen with him is that he was black, you know? And so that like that made it the central conflict. And I loved that scene when Spencer calls to like check up on him, and then they call him. They're just like, yeah, you want to know what his credits is? He's a really important man. And then he's done everything. And then Spencer Tracy's just like, yeah, no wonder he didn't tell us what he did. No one would believe him if he did. Like, I thought that was done in a way that was like funny. And also, you know, it did sort of build him up to be like, it's like, yeah, the only issue anybody would have with him is like that he's black. I loved watching the family deal with it. And like all of the different, you know, looks and all of the different, you know, quiet moments they had together to like to kind of talk about it. And I agree with you, Gerard, that it sort of was, it was more on Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy and Joanna to sort of have these private moments together. And I do think it's a different movie if he brings Joanna to his family and then Joanna's family comes at the end. You know what I mean? Like, it is a different movie from that perspective of like him trying to get his black family on board with the fact that he's dating a white woman. You know, like, I do think it is a different movie that way. And like, I think that because it is the opposite story of she's bringing a black man home for dinner and then his family happens to join, we do get more from the, you know, we do get more from the white family and more from the white side of things.
And I do love that his family came, because I didn't expect that part of the dinner. Like,
yeah, I didn't know either. I this was my first time seeing this movie, definitely. And I hadn't seen Guess Who either.
You haven't seen Guess Who? Come on, baby.
I haven't seen Guess Who. I refuse to watch it, honestly.
Listen.
I actually just read that Bernie Mac was like, I refuse to taint the name of Spencer, Catherine, and Sydney. Like, he was like, so now I'm like, maybe the movie's better than I'm thinking it is in my head.
It's funny. Like, it is a funny movie. I think the thing is, just to get into it, I think the thing about the movie that is interesting, like, we start off immediately, it is so hard because Sidney Poitier's fear throughout this movie is so real. Like, it is, like, because even right now, like, I think David's right, like, things are getting better. But to me, it's like, we talk about on this podcast, when it comes to film, it's like, you will see a black woman with a white dude in multiple films. Like, speaking of Zoe Saldana, so Zoe Saldana stars in a lot of them where, like, she's the black woman who's, like, dating or in love with the white dude. But when it comes to, like, the reverse, it's, like, when it comes to film, it's so hard to see a film on the big screen that has interracial dating that is, like, a black man and a white woman. Also, it's kind of crazy. We don't have, like, a lot of interracial dating between other minorities, really, like, which is so fascinating. Yeah. Like, we, for some reason, it's always like black and white or white and whatever, but it's never like, you know, outside of that movie with Issa Rae and Kumail, it's like, We rarely
yeah,
see like
the only one.
That's, I mean, no, I'm saying, but like in recent times that I can think of, that was a movie. I know that's supposed to be in theaters, but ended up on Netflix. But I'm very fascinated by that.
You know, they say time waits for no one, and neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
It, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know, that happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, His Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
But when they show up and the daughter is so optimistic and so like, this will not be a problem, the whole time you see, it's so funny because I was like, the whole time Sidney Poitier is low-key sweating throughout this whole movie. Like, his forehead is glossy the whole time. Every time his fiance talks, you see my man. You see him every time. He just stops and just looks at everybody. And then there is something about when Katharine Hepburn comes in and she is just silent like that. And she is the most liberal one. Like, she's the one who is the kind one who's like the best one on the team. And she is speechless for a long time. It's like, that shit is terrifying. Whole time I'm like, yo, if she doesn't like him, this dad's about to go apeshit. Yeah. But they were good. I liked how subtle their experiences with understanding who they were, how they raised their daughter. And like,
yeah. I loved how when they first break it to her, she says something like, and then they keep repeating this sort of same reaction of like, well, it would be okay to say I'm stunned, right? Like they ask if it's okay to, how far can I go? I'm surprised. Is that okay? You know, like, they all ask if that's okay first, and then they're like, phew, I at least got that out. Good.
I am not going to pass out, but I will sit down. Maybe we all should sit down.
And then they sit down together. Yes. That was so funny. They all sit down on the same breath. That was great.
I think it's also safe to say that this movie came out before The Loving Case. So in the United States, it was 16 to 17 states that still interracial marriage was illegal. So this came out before that change happened. Which is crazy.
And the fact that Joanna just kept saying, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I was like, she has no, like, they wrote her to have no semblance of what was going on in the outside world.
Do you know something? Jirai, I love that you mentioned that Loving case. That's another film, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Guys, it's a wonderful film with this British actress again. Big up my Brits. just going to get that in there, guys. We love you. So good. They did a really, really amazing film. I think it was with Joel Edgerton. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that film is amazing. And that story is even more amazing. Now, I love that you mention it because the thing about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is it's one of those films that, and what you guys were just talking about now was just cracking me up because it's like the drama of the film. For me, it's melodramatic. Like it feels like sometimes it just feels like a play. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
it does.
It feels like these guys are just like almost archetypal sometimes, which really makes us, for me anyway, makes me see like who these people are. Like Catherine Hepburn's character, I think she's wonderful. And I think that, by the way, I think she's an incredible actress. She's awesome. But I think more specifically, I think that she almost, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but she almost comes across to me living in my skin now, like the, entitled white girl. I don't mean that in the rude way, but you know what I mean? Like she's almost like an older version of that kind of girl who's like, I'm totally like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Like,
they really matter.
Like, thank you.
And it's like that's 50 years ago, you know what I mean? That's 50, 60 years ago. And I'm like, my comparison between Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and Loving is that I'm glad that we had a film like that that's so melodramatic, that reads like a play, and that you can laugh about it. Because when you get to that Loving case, it's like, it gets real. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really real, where you couldn't have that come after that. That case.
That makes total sense. Like, it is funny because Katharine Hepburn, like her character in this, is so fascinating because I had never seen this, so I thought the family was gonna be super racist. Like the whole time I was waiting for, like, because the fear in her face in that opening scene, I thought she was gonna be throwing little jabs the whole time. Because even when they go outside to have lunch, if you will. First off, another thing. This maid, good Lord. Like, this maid, and it's so funny, this maid, I was torn because I have met Black people who have treated me a certain kind of way of like, you're acting better than us. You're bigger than your britches. And I'm like, nigga, we still live in the hood. What you talking about? Like, what you talking about? I just went to college. That's like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because at first, I thought when she showed up was, I thought she was going to be upset with Sydney because Sydney was dating a white woman. And I have had experiences, especially, you know, with my family. My family's like darker skin, Black women. And it is a big thing of like honoring Black women. And that comes from also dating and loving Black women like fully. And so I thought for her, it was going to be more of like, you sold out, like how could you do this? But it ended up being a totally different thing, which is almost like that slave mentality. It's like, how dare you act bigger than, like, what did she say? She called him like out of his place. What did she say?
Yeah, she said something like, you know, this isn't going to be the exact quote, but she said something like, I don't like seeing a Black man act bigger than his britches. Like, but that was how she started. But then she, at the end, she was still like, you know, she still went on a journey of like, this is uncomfortable to me. And then she was like, she treated him like an exception. She was like, because you're in this state in your life, you aren't looking at the real world. Like she had a very complicated opinion about him, you know, and then ended her rant at him with like, and also you ain't good enough for her. I raised her and you ain't good looking either. And then
you ain't even that handsome. You ain't even that handsome anyway.
Like it was like, I loved that because it was, she really went through, she had so many emotions and opinions about it. And coming from, you know, work, her, she's like, I'm not just working class. I literally serve these people, you know, that's where she's coming from, you know, and then, you know, she has this relationship of like, I serve them, but also I'm like a second mother to this woman, you know, and you come in here being like one of, you know, seven black doctors or whatever it is. And like, and you think because you have gotten what you've gotten, we all can do this. And that's not true. You know, it was, there was just, it was so complex, that argument.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, that was another reason why I love this film, because I remember it took me a while. Again, I'm rewatching it. I think I've watched it like at several points in my life so far. But I think I watched it, you know, obviously younger, than I watched it when I was like 18, 19. And I watched it, you know, most recently when I was like, when I turned 24, that kind of time. And it completely changed constantly for me because, for instance, you know, I've got two sisters who, you know, I love and adore them. They're my girls, you know. But they're older than me and... I see how hard it is for them sometimes, mm-hmm. just like trying to exist and simply just be black women. Like it's intense, you know. And they can be, they're passionate and they've got loads of opinions.
I love how you're doing this. I love how you setting this up. I love this.
No, but like, I mean, no, they're incredible people, but they also have, I often feel, especially coming to like, understand them more, they're constantly misunderstood, And listen, as being black full stop, is very easy to be misunderstood. But I think there is something more specific with black women, where I think almost sometimes people go out of their way to understand them, where you kind of got to. So I love this part in the film when it comes between Sydney and I forget the actress, who's just incredible, by the way, but I forget her name. But she comes with such an instant like no, and I'm sitting there going like, I totally agree with you, Gerard, where it's like, what, like, why are you doing it? Like, where are we not on the same side? Like, why are you so mad? Like, why are you so angry? But I love actually what you say as well, James, where it's like she's going through every emotion in looking at this and trying to understand how this also works, but also like, where does she fit in to this equation? Yeah. That's what, and I think that's why I love it, because it feels like a play. And what I always say with good plays is every character in a good play, no matter how big or small, how wild it is, always has like a real good justification, like to why they do what they do. And I look at her and I'm going, she's saying things which are sometimes, I think, a little bit off, but I'm looking at her going, I know why you're saying this. Like I know why you're saying this. So yeah, I mean, I love that relationship as well. It's pretty cool.
She drops the only N-bomb in the whole movie. She drops the, and she said it so smooth too. It wasn't even like, it wasn't the point of the sentence. It was like, I'm still got more after this. It's funny, but
we should say it's Isabel Sanford, who we would know as Wheezy on The Jeffersons and All in the Family.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Also, I just realized that the daughter is also named Catherine, and I'm looking her up right now. And I used to watch the show Scrubs with Donald Faison, and the chief of the hospital, like the old white dude, that's her husband. How crazy is that? Such a small world.
Also, love how you say Scrubs with Donald Faison. Like, that's the first actor from Scrubs is Donald Faison.
I remember the black dude. What do you mean? Of course, I'm gonna say the black dude first.
Yeah, Scrubs with Donald Faison. Yeah, no, of course. I was just acknowledging that was what you did.
Of course, I'm gonna say the black dude first, and then I'm gonna get to everybody else. Like, I'm gonna say the black dude first. Like, come on, man. He was a black doctor on a sitcom. In a lead.
You're right.
On, man. How many black comedic doctors we seen in the movie?
or on TV. Right. I got Donald Faison. Let me rap Donald Faison right now, James. Okay. All right. I told you, Dave's the first black dude I seen on like Wall Street and shit. I'm a rep the black dude first. That's what I'm gonna do. Okay. I just named mad movies about this. I'm gonna name the black dude first. God damn it. But I want to say, speaking of black women, I loved when Sidney Poitier's mom showed up, Miss Patrice. David, hearing you talk about like plays, and I know James loves theater, he talks about it all the time. There is something to no part, and this is the thing. I think I'm saying this as a performer because I feel like sometimes you get a part and you're like, man, what the rest of it? It's like I got 10 minutes in it. Like, what is this? But like, she shows up. And she's so nuanced in like less than 15 minutes of screen time. And it is something that is so beautiful about how she portrays this. Because the one thing I was very happy about, she was not weak. She was not spoken down to. And the thing it wasn't even lines, is that physically watching her sit when she was talking to her husband, when she was talking to Katharine Hepburn, when she was talking to the white dude, her posture was always tall. You know what I mean? It was always tall. It was always heartfelt. And to think she got an Oscar nomination for that 15 minutes. It just reminds me of when Viola Davis got it for Doubt for like 15 minutes. And it's like, there's something so, you're right, man. Black women have such a, goddamn, they go through so much where there's so much strength, but also much vulnerability, so much care. Yeah. And on the whole, it is not reciprocated. You know what I mean? I think about here in America, like thinking about the elections, we can actively say in America, black women are a large, one of the great reasons why Donald Trump is not going to be the president. You know what I'm saying? We can say that by stats. You know, we think about women over as a whole. A lot of white women still voted for this dude. You know what I'm saying? More white women voted for this dude. But black women held it down again. And it's like, even when I think about these actresses, man, we talk about this all the time, like, I love seeing black women in these parts, but there is something about seeing sometimes darker black women lead these movies. And it's not happening as fast as it should. And I don't, and the thing is hard, because I don't want to like say that and like be like, oh, certain people aren't black because everyone's black. But there's something about seeing a darker skinned black woman be the love interest in this movie, be the superhero in that movie. Like the whole reason to me Wakanda was so dope is because Wakanda was just black in different shades of black. You know, so it was something. I'm so happy that mom came. I'm so happy she showed up.
And her speech was so great. Like that was just such a great scene where she just broke down to the dad about like it wasn't about race. It was just about love. It was just this thing about like how love grows and changes and you know what she believed men of a certain age forget. And it was just like, this is amazing, you know. And I couldn't believe that they held on it for so long, just because of sort of that thing that Gerard was talking about earlier, of like how it felt like we were giving so much attention to Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn that I was shocked that like the second that they were alone, they were like, and now here's a speech from this black woman. Like, I was like, oh, we're really doing this.
The only thing is that when the dad had his speech at the end, the thing that he openly says upset him was her thing saying he doesn't know about love. Like that was the springboard. It was like,
yeah, but I get why. There was something. There's definitely a writing thing going on too, because I was like, is that even the stance? Like, is the stance that men of a certain age stop thinking about sex? Like, is that real or is that?
What was passion? I think it was like it went from that passion, that thing of love has now changed when you get older. And I do think that's the case sometimes. Like, I think, like, sometimes you'll see men, not saying all men do this, but, like, it happens with that midlife crisis. It happens when all of a sudden you see the old dude with some 20, 30-something-year-old woman to feel alive again, whereas, like, his wife has been with him for 40, 50 fucking years. But the thing that's very interesting about this movie, though, is the level of roadblocks. At first it was Katharine Hepburn. The priest was on board from the very beginning, which I thought was a very interesting thing. Because again, like at least, you know, illegal. And it was like a lot of religion was used to separate and justify why interracial marriage shouldn't exist. So I was very happy by the fact that that went down. But I was very fascinated by his dad, the working class dad. And I wish he had, I wish his dad had a little mini speech as well, because I think his dad may have come off as like, I don't want this to happen because she's white. Whereas to me, it would have been so fascinating to see that dad talk about the history of what happens when a black man looks at a white woman. Again, like there's been, you know, the history of Black Wall Street that was used to burn it, to get the people to burn it down, was that something happened to a white woman when she visited or was in the town. Like we know the famous case of Emmett Till. We heard of like Rosewood, again, like all these cases and things have happened because of a black man looking at a white woman. I mean, it was the rumor of whistling at a white woman. It was like all these things that happened. It's such a protection of her. And I wish the dad would have had some type of say of, listen, man, I understand you're in love. This is dangerous, but you got to understand that like, we don't live in a world yet that you're safe. And I think that is, I think that's what the dad and everybody else was trying to hint at. But I wish that black dad said that's it a to
great,
his son.
That's a great point. And I don't even know if the movie, or if even people in the 60s were ready to to hear someone like openly talk about that at the end of essentially a comedy, you know, like I imagine it's more preserving people's feelings, or that it is like that it would ruin the comedy of it or whatever, you know, because they do keep hinting at it, but it is like, it's a totally different movie and a more powerful movie if, you know, when we do get his side of the story, it's like, yeah, man, I know someone who was kid, or whatever, you know, or even just look around at the news, you know, and see what's going on. Like this, what's ahead of you is, you know, being ridiculed, being attacked, even being, you know, all of that lies ahead of you and your kids. And yeah, it would have been super interesting to hear someone explicitly talk about it.
Can I just say, I love how much you two both mention Black Panther in this podcast. I think we can never stop mentioning Black Panther is, for its cultural reasons, but what it's done, it's incredible. But the reason why I mentioned that, besides the point that I just love the fact that you guys are talking about Wakanda all the time, but the reason why I mentioned that is because you know, one thing about that movie as well, I'm talking about Black Panther now, is that I feel like every single speech in Black Panther this is going to sound wrong, but I know what I mean. Every single speech feels progressive in a sense.
No, that sounds good.
There's no speech where it's like, listen, dude, you can't use this vibranium because I've used it before and it's never going to work. And you know, this, you know, which is conversations are true. Like, I mean, I've had that kind of conversation with my dad where he said something to me in true and deep love, but it's inevitably transgressive. You're not helping me to try and bring something forward. So now taking it back to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, I agree with you, you know, because I think that the dad's vibe was transgressive, like it felt to me anyway. Mm-hmm. But I love that you're trying to justify it and trying to make him say that what he's trying to say, if he had a speech, is
if he had one.
You know,
if Stanley Kramer would have just written that speech.
But you know, I feel like also the this film was released in the '60s. I feel like it was just so ahead of its time, because even the argument, even the topic is like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, you know, pick your moments kind of vibe, because it's such a large topic that we're still talking about today, unfortunately, that I feel like they couldn't tackle all of the whole pie in one sitting. So that's why, I guess what I'm saying is that's why I'm like, no, the dad for me, I'm like, no, he's exactly where he was meant to be. The mom came in and she was exactly where she meant to be. And actually, I think my cherry on the top is the maid's character, who actually comes with that, like, no, I'm not okay with this. Like, I disagree, which I'm just like, that is a big thing, which she, it would have been so much easier for her to be like, oh no, I'm just worried for you two. Yeah. You know, I'm just worried. Right. Do you know what I mean? Right. It would have been so much easier. And especially in the 60s, I'm like, no, do you know what? You guys did your bit. I'm really, really pleased.
You're right.
It's not a perfect movie. And you're absolutely right. Spencer Tracy has way more screen time, but nonetheless, I'm like, it inspires someone like me who's, trying to have a career in this as well. So I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe if I, yeah. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, shout out to those studio execs as well who made that happen. Again, how much easier would it have been just to go, listen, Spencer, why don't you just write a film? Maybe we can touch on it a little bit, but just write a film mostly that involves Catherine. And you know what I mean?
True,
it
would have
been so much, just come on, she's a star. You know what I mean? It would have been so much easier. So I'm like, you know, we need more studio execs like that now, you know, trying to tackle things that are slightly difficult, trying to push things forward.
I mean, we need more. I mean, even on that part, we need more studio films that are smaller in scale. You know what I mean? Like, again, we've talked about Black Panther. I love it. But that's such a big event movie, where this movie was a studio movie, not an indie. It was a studio picture that got released. And it was just, I used to call them adult movies when I was a kid, because my mom used to watch all these Denzel and stuff. And I'm like, that's not for me. That's an adult movie. You know what I mean? But I think there is something to that and getting it out to the masses. Like, one of the big things I took away from this movie is, I guess what my low-key fear is that, you know, Sidney Poitier is this very accomplished Black man. You know what I mean? But yet he still has that fear, that uneasiness, because he is a Black dude and who he loves could be a problem. You know what I'm saying? Or is a problem at that time. And what is scary now is that no matter how successful, you know, we get, it's like, unless your face is known, you still are a Black dude. I remember hearing Bellagio talk in New York about, you know, his son, like, people don't know, but his wife is Black, so his son is mixed. But his son looks Black. You know what I mean? His son looks like a Black kid. And he's like, yo, this is after Eric Garner. And he's like, you know, if something happens to my son, no one knows this is the mayor's son. Like, this is now a Black child. And there's a certain way that these Black children get treated. And thinking about Sidney in this whole movie and just how he's trying to move, how like he's polished, he switches suits. And I'm like, it feels like, it makes me sad, because I don't think this is necessarily always true, but it feels like we have to always be on the up and up, as my grandmother would say. It's like, whereas, like, you know, when you're a kid, I feel like if it's a white kid, oh, they're just roughhousing, they're just playing. Whereas, like, if you're a Black kid and you're running down the street, it's like, what are these hooligans doing? Like, there have been times when I was in New York City and I've seen it and I've done it and I felt so bad. I've seen like a bunch of white kids running down the street and I've never thought twice that like they could be doing something nefarious. But I see a bunch of like Black and brown kids, and I'm like, where are these niggas going? It is a thing that my mind instantly does it. And I'm like, shit, like I do it too. And it's like, just seeing him, it just makes me sad, because I am of the age of having kids now. And I'm like, damn, if I bring a Black kid into this world, how do I address the world in his Blackness? Because I don't want to, because you know, the thing is, I don't want to take away his innocence, but also he needs to know the world. Or she, you know, it. So that
I'll say this briefly too, and then we can move on. But Kat and I were just talking about this. My wife Kat and I were just talking about this last night, and we were talking about like, when do we introduce race to our kid when we have a kid? And we kept talking about as soon as possible, and then we started talking about our own experiences and what that was like, and she was othered earlier on than I was, like with her classmates, because I grew up in a predominantly Black area, and she grew up in Maryland, and she's half Chinese, and they kept asking her like, why are you different? Anyway, we kept talking about ourselves as, we kept using the word different, and then I was like, oh right, how do we make sure that our kids don't have a relationship to race that means they are different than other people, you know, like how do we even break, because it's instilled in us, like we, like, even though, you know, now as an adult, I'm like, I know that it's not that I am different. My relationship to it is still of different, like I'm different and white is normal, you know? Yeah. And granted, kids now live in a different, it's a different world, and the way that we talk about race is different than we did when we were just you know, 30 years ago. But you know, hopefully also the world will, the landscape of the world as the, as kids are coming up, will be a little bit different too. So
no, that's great. I mean, I feel you. Listen, shit, kids. But you know, I wanted to shout out Hollywood, because David, I think you're right. I am very happy that DZX made this movie. I do think it was such a risk at that time, especially, I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out When They See Us on Netflix, and they talk about early Hollywood and how it was not allowed to have a black and white woman, a black man and a white woman, like date or be married or do anything on screen. Like, it was like they talk about the era of that. And so, like, I am super thankful for people like Sidney Poitier who were able to break down barriers and just like show black men as like suave and smart and is as handsome as he thinks he is. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where like I do hope that when it comes to Hollywood, we do get to see more interracial marriage and stuff like that, because I do think it helps humanize and not make it as taboo or as risque as people still honestly believe. It's like, nah, man, like, this is not an issue. It's like, you know, love who you want to love. Like, it's not that bad. And I think, you know, the more we see things, and again, not just black and white, but just interracial marriage and dates happen with all the races. So I think like the more and more we see that on film, that'd be great. So that's my piece on that. James, you got anything?
And I don't have anything, because I don't do bits anymore. David, you don't know this, but I used to end the podcast with a bit. You know, I would do some kind of a bit right
this
now.
This feels like that a bit. Be, I think, know, he even silly. Understands you're doing
it'd
a bit.
It would be like a silly bit, you know, that I would do right now, but I don't do those bits anymore.
Okay, so you're done. So you're done.
Yeah, I'm just making it clear that I don't do bits anymore. We're going to move on to the all next right. part, because I don't do
okay.
bits.
It's okay. We can move on?
No bits from me. Yeah, we're cool. Let's move on.
I don't want to start saying the
no
end
bits.
Of the
No.
All right, I'm gonna...
No bits.
How we do this is like we like to review these movies, not based on whether we like or hate them or not, but whether they help the cause, which is helping leading black actors get more work in Hollywood. So if you believe this film helps the cause, you give it a black fist. If you think it's so-so, you give it a white palm. If you think it doesn't help, you give it nothing. I'm gonna count to three. I think I'm gonna go 3-2-1, because I like the countdown. It makes it feel official. I'm gonna go 3-2-1.
And then we actually hold up the rating, David. Just so, you know, if it's a fist, you do, or, okay.
as we see hands on your shirt, I just realized as your hands are up on the shirt. All right. And then 3-2-1. Three black fists. Honestly, if one of us didn't give it a black fist, that would have been bad for the culture.
Can you imagine if I was just like, nah. White palm, baby.
Sydney and the dad didn't get that speech. White palm. Dave, why'd you give it a black fist?
I gave it a black fist because, you know, I do. I think the fact that I can watch a film like that when, you know, growing up, again, I'm thankful to my dad for showing me films like this, because not only was it inspiring at the time for me, but it's something that I've always held on to. And listen, Sidney Poitier, this film, are definite reasons, you know, things go in and out of trend, but films like this, for me, stick, and the definite reasons why I think, you know, I can, do you know what I mean? Or like, I'm able to go onto a set and go, okay, you know, I'm meant to be here, as opposed to, you know, like shy away from it, or go like, you know, thank you for letting me in. It's, I'm like, no, look at these films that were made in the 60s that had leading black men and people talking their mind and saying what they actually meant, as opposed to what you wanted them to say. So that's why I give it a black fist, man. And also, I mean, Sidney Poitier can wear a suit and make it look like,
man,
bounce, right? I mean, so come on, man. I got to give it a fist.
James, what about you, Pim?
Absolutely, absolutely. Black fists all around. This movie is really great. The approach to race in the movie is next level. It's clearly, even though I had only just now seen it, you know, it's been a part of my life my whole life. You know, like every time anyone talks about any great art, they talk about, you know, they talk about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And, you know, I just think that without a movie like this, so many other things don't happen. So many other films aren't made. It needs a fist because it definitely helps the cause.
Yeah, I gave it the same what both of you guys said. Honestly, I'm happy we watched it because I rarely watch older movies. And I think I want to start doing more of that. Again, it did feel like a play, which was honestly great at times. But other times I was like, man, goddamn, this is big. Again, my favorite line of this movie, get off my back. I think that line is so good. And I think in lesser hands, it would not have came off that way. When it came off as powerful. My man, when you watch it, Sydney says that, grabs the air, turns his back, walks away from his dad, pauses, does the black man hand on the chin. Like, we don't see it, but we see his hand go up to his chin, turns back, and finishes his discussion with his dad. And then he's super happy and loving to his dad because he's like, I get it. And that's the thing is, like, we don't see black fathers and sons, like, interact in, like, a way. And I know, I feel like James and I talk about this for different reasons, but it's like, it is so important to see that dynamic, I think.
Sydney has that another great line where they zoom into him and he goes, she's up there pecking. When she's just up there pecking.
Yes.
It's this deep moment of like of him understanding everything that's happening. And it's such a small line, but it was so powerful.
Yes.
And then another thing I read on Wikipedia that Sydney was so starstruck by Catherine and Spencer that there's a scene that he had between the two of them that like literally they had to send them home. He was like, send them home. And he acted with the acting coach and they went in on an extreme close up with him because he was so
nervous. Really?
So, yeah. Apparently there was like tension early on between them and him as well of like, who is this young guy, you know, coming in and possibly race stuff as well, obviously. But then after that, it got better. But it's so crazy to think that like he, you know, someone, Sidney Poitier was like, oof, I can't do this scene.
I feel like that if you ever in a scene with Denzel or Viola, I'm like, all right, just yeah. You
can
take
you just
a breath.
Send Denzel and Viola home, please. I need to do the scene.
It's like, first off, could you imagine realizing, oh, they're going to, like, they're so authentic, like, they're not going to just walk away and have a stand in, be like your reaction. That would like, no, we got you. We're going to be here. And I'm like, oh, shit. You start saying their real names. Miss Davis. David, thank you for being with us, man.
Yeah,
thanks for
you.
Hanging out. This is the portion where you get to plug whatever you want, where people should follow you on, you know, social, any things you got to come up, want people to look at, just let them know.
Oh, man, listen, first and foremost, I'm plugging you guys, man. It's a full-on pleasure, and you guys are doing more than I think you know. So thank you, and thank you for having a boy like me come on and talk to you guys. I'm grateful. I mean, listen, there's nothing to plug apart from the fact that, you know, I'm in industry, which is out now, and I got a few things I'm not allowed to say just yet.
Okay.
But no, man.
Tell us off mic. Though, right?
Come on, man. We root for Gus, man. Come on now.
But you know, I'm trying. So yeah, thank you guys. Honestly, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Dave. All right, you can follow us at Black Man Podcast. John isn't here, but you can follow him at Jonathan Braylock on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter as well, at Gerard Milligan. I don't post that much, but, you know, I be replying to stuff all the time. So I'm trying to get James to get a McRib with me. So y'all can follow those chronicles on. Once he does it, I'm going to put that all over my story.
I can't believe you're trying to, up until the McRib coming back, you would clown me for going to McDonald's. And now you're trying to get me to go eat this terrible sandwich.
Because the world is shut down, and I just watched Harold and Kumar, and they spent a whole movie trying to get a burger. So I feel like we can go get a McRib.
If you rate and review us on iTunes, we will read your review on the air. This one is from Chill Breed. It's called, Why Are You Guys So Great at the... And then... I don't know what he says. But The Last Dragon was the first time I was exposed to The Drug, which is your show. The Black perspective and the chemistry you guys share is amazing. I try to put people on whenever I can. Not gonna lie, I've been really cheap, but I'm now gonna make the commitment for the extra content. I just watched Is Usher the Greatest Usher of All Time? And I have to ask, does everyone else think John looks like Black Barry Allen from The Flash? What? Who is that?
From The Flash, from Kid Flash.
Kid Flash. Kenyon Lionsdale?
Yeah, okay.
Why do you call him Black Barry Allen? Okay, no shade, love to him. Keep up the grind and looking for my next fix. All right.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. I think I can actually say this. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom should be coming out.
Yes, so we're doing that.
We should be doing that. That is Viola Davis and the late, great Chadwick Boseman. Man, that's going to be a tough one.
Even
if his part isn't tough, like right now I bought this book about Chadwick, and it's just about his life. And it just actually talks about, honestly, his age and when he made it, quote unquote, made it, and when like 24 actually came out. I mean, sorry, 42 actually came out. I was like, yo, sometimes Black folk, if you like, unless you go to one of these Ivy Leagues or British or something, you be popping late. Like, not like quote unquote late. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We'll talk
even
about
Denzel was what, 27?
Dude, Sam Jackson.
When his first movie came out. So,
Sam Jackson, Sterling K. Like, it is. I just found out, forgive me for messing up his name, but I know you know James. But Chidi. Chidi's like 40, 41, which means he got good
William
plays.
Jackson
like,
Harper. Yeah. I saw him in plays like 10 years ago. Like, he was like hustling.
It's crazy. But anyway, we'll talk about that. So again, please watch Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It is a fantastic movie, and we'll see y'all next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!